I got a question for y'all though. So if a kid reclassify and don't make it to the
I can't understand him.
I'm saying if a kid reclassify and don't make it to the professional level, was that a waste of time?
Can you hear? Did you hear that, Bing?
No, he sound like he's talking in reverse.
No. Maybe our connection together. But he said if a parent decides to reclassify a kid and doesn't work out. What did you say at the end of that?
I said, if they don't make it to the professional level, is it a waste of time?
And he doesn't take it to the professional level, was it a waste of time?
I mean, the main reason why you reclassify is not to be a pro. The main reason why you reclassify is get them to college.
Yeah.
Now, you know, but what they do when they get to college is on them. You know what I mean? But, like, everybody isn't a pro. Like, you see a lot of parents, they pipe down once their kid get to college and, you know, and like parents don't want to pay for college. They want their kid to go to school for free.
I ain't paying anyway.
If
my kids know they gonna invest in themselves.
Yes, I like, man, we've been talking about that, me and my wife. I refuse to save one penny for college. If you can't earn an academic or an athletic scholarship, college is not for you, and not in my house. So
now,
But see, that's what parents fail to realize. Parents invest a lot of money. If you don't just have money, if you don't just have money and enjoy to see your kids doing something that makes them happy, then investing in your child through youth sports to go pro is a waste. It's a terrible investment, and that's what a lot of people do. Like, if you think about all the money you spend on your child to go pro, like, would you walk in your house right now and give your 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old kid $100,000? You wouldn't do that because it's a bad investment. Like, we don't teach them the stuff they actually need to know. It should always be a surprise if your kid go pro. You should be like, oh, wow, I didn't see that coming.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, some people skip steps. Like, I coached AAU for 23 years. So a lot of the parents that I had, their main goal was to get their kid in college. That was the main goal. You know what I mean? Like, if they happen to go pro, great. But, I mean, you know, you got some parents who they don't want to put that bill for college, man. So they trying to get them into school. I know the ones I dealt with, you know what I'm saying? Like, with my program and stuff.
That's cool, though.
As a scholarship, I'm gonna pull this up in a second.
But if you reclass, if you reclass them, and they don't go nowhere, you know what I mean, and they out here still messing up and things like that, then yeah, you wasted your time.
But waste time to do what? Like, I don't know why in our community we allow people to put these timetables on us.
But a lot of age
is not an accomplishment.
But you got a lot of kids who they graduating young too. So that's another reason why some people reclassifying their kids
and that can hurt people. I'm just saying it's kind of like I talked to people about this before, how in the black community, if I ask y'all right now at what age is your kids supposed to leave the house, most people probably say 18, right? Because that's just been instilled in us to do. To me, it's not an age on when your kid has to leave the house. It's all about a maturity and readiness.
Preparation.
Yeah.
I got a question. I got a question, though. Should college – so in college sports, you're allowed to redshirt. Should you be allowed to redshirt in high school?
You should.
Hell no.
They already do it.
Can elaborate on what's the difference?
Well, you got a lot of guys who are graduating early now and going to school.
I'm just saying, like, we, you know, when you go to college, you're allowed a redshirt year. Can you, would y'all be up for a rule to saying you can redshirt your first year in high school?
They should. That way they can stop the people from, like, holding kids back. You get what I'm saying?
Now, Sir Cabalot got a goddamn, by his body language, he need to say something. I need to hear.
Hey, first of all, I've been quiet.
No, I need your bald head reasons, though. Is that time?
Look, first of all, the name that you gave me, Sir Cap-a-Lot, that's effed up. I just saw
you on that low phone again.
You did that.
No, I'm on my webcam today. The reclassification, man. Look, when you hit eighth grade, and I'm from the old school. You should be either be playing.
Oh, you know what? You shouldn't have said that because that don't help your argument.
No, I'm just saying, bro. Like the reclassify, holding your kid back and all that. No, man, it doesn't make any sense because if this kid has been held back, dominating this class, and he steps up and gets a slap in the mouth from these older kids that's just as old as him, but got the coaching, got the weight training, and just as development, he don't do nothing. As a parent, you looking dumb.
All right, so what's the difference in college then? When you get to college, again? What's the difference when you get to college?
Same thing.
So you shouldn't be able to register in college either, in your opinion.
Well, no, see, okay, I see what you're saying, but okay, you can't be 20 years old in high school, bro.
Bro, I said one. All I said was 1 year. Why are you jumping the slam?
I just said you can't. Look, there's some people. There's some people 19, 20 still in high school.
I said was redshirt 1 year like you do in college. I said they 23 still in high school. I said just legitimately one.
That 1 year.
Just like they doing.
Let's say you 18.
I feel if it was high school or home.
You 20 years old. Your body take a big development jump. Come on. That's not fair to the rest of the kids, bro.
Okay, I mean, so what's the difference in college?
It's not kids. No, it's not. And that's what I'm saying again. I'm jumping on this point about how.
Uh-oh, he froze.
If the high school don't have a good coach or they don't develop players, then it will be.
But this goes back to what I said about Mike Krzyzewski and about Roy Williams. There's no development in college. Again, I do this every day of the week. And then what I'm talking about before about scholarships, what you see on my screen right now is something that happened when I said youth sports trafficking is real. It says, notice it didn't say scholarship. Institute, this is Idaho. So this is college, quote-unquote scholarships, where everybody's thinking they get it. First of all, every person in here that went to school, going to go to school, is going to fill out a FAFSA form. Every parent is going to fill out a FAFSA form. Your FAFSA is your financial aid. That covers your entire tuition and books. And the thing is, then called in-state, out-of-state tuition. By throwing that term scholarship out, we got everybody running around reclassifying kids, putting them in taller shoes, basically making their hair higher, and everything under the sun to make it seem like they're the type of gifted athlete they're getting a scholarship. It says right here, the institution and NCAA enforcement staff agreed from at least 2016 academic year through 2021, the institution impermissibly reduced athletic-related financial aid. They didn't say scholarship. Or student athletes approximately 139 occasions over this period. Awarded to fail the proper notification of the student writing their reductions of the opportunity during hearings. It also says that through the fall semester through 2019, the school charges student athlete course fees covered under the student athlete's athletics aid on 100 occasions where student athletes drop courses on their own after drop ed deadline for them. Everybody know what courses drop before the ad deadline situation. The total amount of impermissibly charged to student athletes is approximately $8,000, which means, again, they thought they were on scholarships. It was their financial aid. The school dropped them from the class. They hit them with a bill for financial aid. They're going to find out 10 years later on their credit report that they didn't go on the scholarship they thought they were. This is why I said, again, this whole thing about sports and not understanding the business you in. As an African-American athlete, reason why schools go after our kids for the most part, because we come from poor neighborhoods. The poorer you are, the more aid the government gives to these 501c3 billionaire not-for-profit organizations. When Nike's and Adidas throw the sweatsuits on top of that, they pay them that as well. You are now giving free marketing and free advertising. You do not have to be an athlete to go to any school in the United States of America to get a degree in anything. And that is a misconception that from the youth level, people continue to talk about. And then when you talk about really getting educated.
Hold on, Rob. I don't mean to cut you off because reason why I want to jump in right there, because it sounds like you're saying like you can go to school for free. Are you saying that?
That's exactly what I'm saying. That's why I call it financial aid. That's exactly, and anybody, anywhere, that's a 1,000% fact. And I've been doing this for way too long. And so the fact is, if you can look at it into yourself, free courses, you can go to school online like Southern New Hampshire, don't pay anything. Your financial aid based off your actual check that you get allows you to go to class. And so then on top of that, schools like Iowa, which I'm representing those players, they literally put the black kids in classes that do not translate into careers and jobs after football and gave other people a chance to take engineer courses. Any athlete that played Division I knows you go to schools, I want to take this course. Oh yeah, you can do it. Then you get there and look at the registrar from 12 to 4, if it don't fit into that actual window, you can't go there. Then they're going to slap you into the sports management degree course or the communications course. You can get a job at enterprises. That's why I said, again, this is where all this stuff starts from early, because all these parents are sitting there spending all this money trying to track, get these kids to get scholarships. And at the end of the day, these universities, again, 501, not for profit, meaning when they get paid, they don't pay taxes on it. And your FAFSA form is paying for them and you to go to school, and you're giving Nick Saban credit for it. So your in-state tuition is less. Out-of-state is more. So if you're a walk-on from Florida and a University of Miami, you can walk on in Miami as an ACC school, Division I school, and it will cost you less as a parent for you to go to play at Western Michigan.
Hey, it's a question that got so Jamal on YouTube basically saying that when you say you go to school for free, are you saying they won't have to pay it back or they will have to pay?
He was in finance. He was in the register for 13 years, Jamal. I'm not wrong. Because at the end of the day, every kid is going to put their FAFSA in first, and then you're going to cover the remaining balance of it. And with the scholarship covers and with a lot of these, and you might be talking HBCUs on top of that. So the HBCUs, as a matter of fact, they do the in-state, out-of-state tuition and say, try to break it down where, oh, you're on a scholarship versus financial aid. And that's the problem with these schools. I'm sorry, I'm not sitting here knocking what you did, Jamal, but I know how these schools operate. So at the end of the day, this is what it said right here about what is in Iowa on my screen. They literally had a kid thinking he was on scholarship, and they took it from him, did not inform him of that because it was financial aid. They didn't say, they told you it was a scholarship, but they reduced his financial aid and then stuck him with a bill. And that's happened all across the country forever.
But Rob, I think Jamie said both about that. We understand those parts and how to, like, scholarships are not 4 years or anything like that no more. And I think I think the word scholarship is what you don't like about it. But what we're basically what I'm trying to understand is what you're saying here now is bottom line, people don't want to have to pay for school. They want to leave school and have zero debt, right?
Correct.
So far, the easiest way to do that is academic or athletic scholarship, what people know. So it sounds like you're saying it's another way to leave with.
There's another way. I'm going to pull up another way in a second. I'm going to put y'all in the link to go look for it. Because when you're talking about going to certain schools, we're not talking about, again, you can go to Alabama right now and get a degree from Alabama, and you're going to have, it's the 51st ranked state school education in this country. You're not going to be able to work at Whataburger with a degree from Alabama, despite what they want you to believe. And so the reality is you go to that same Phoenix online that Larry Fitzgerald has graduated after being out of school for like 17 years online. And then at the end of the day, that's what it is from that standpoint. And so you can go to school. She said, no loans, no scholarships.
Yeah, so Jamie, she's echoing what you're saying. Her son.
Yeah, there's several schools you can do that with.
So her son.
Several. And that's what Bernie Sanders, when he was doing all this stuff before talking about free education, everybody wanted to talk about, oh, he's trying to give stuff away. No, this stuff's been happening. They just didn't want people to know that and where it was actually happening at. There are several schools.
Click the link, Jamal. Click the link. Go ahead. Keep going.
So there's several schools you can go to school with and then not to pay anything. And it's based off your financial aid. And they'll cover your full tuition and your books and everything else under the sun. And so, again, for me, financially, I was told, like, oh, I'm on scholarship. I come to find out, and it was a financial aid, and it was a loan. So, again, I don't trust nothing the school says, ever, because at the end of the day, the same paperwork they put in front of that kid is not what they're actually saying. And that's why this whole thing is about pay for play right now, and players basically getting paid for their worth, because when everybody say, oh, these kids are getting educated, they're getting scholarships, they're getting to be a world-class education. No, they are not.
Yeah, so Jamie is basically saying that both of her sons, this is the statement she made, both of my sons went to a university, lived in the dorm for free, but they had to leave me off of the paperwork.
Right.
So she was basically echoing what you were saying. So
That's not always easy, Hulk. It's like,
it's the paperwork, Rock. It's the paperwork. That's the business side I'm talking about.
But what I'm saying is, it's plenty of people who have tried to leave their parents off of the paperwork. If you can't prove how you providing for yourself and things like that, so it's people who.
Tell me Jamie got money.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like, tell me she got money.
When you got money, they want to bust your parents' head. But then, like, it's a lot of people who come from parents who got money, but their parents don't actually do anything for them. And, like, they literally have to prove that they're not connected with their family.
Remember what happened with the woman from the Full House? Remember Full House? The woman that got arrested, Full House? And the ones that say it was on scholarship? The NCAA, the women, like the lady from Full House, what's his name, wife?
Jesse. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It was Jesse.
Yeah, went to jail.
Yeah, okay. Jesse. She went to jail. She went to jail because she had money and they couldn't get their kids into school, but they said they went to an athletic scholarship. And so when they had money and they went on a scholarship, they don't play a sport. They don't qualify for financial aid in that scholarship. So essentially, they only was accepted into school under that terms of the scholarship, not the actual qualifications, but the actual fact that they were playing a sport. And they never played a sport in a day in their life. So that's the only way they could have gotten to school was through the actual scholarship. They went to jail because they violated the terms of financial aid. You have money. You can't get athletic aid and scholarship if you don't qualify for that. And
that's what I'm saying. Rock, I don't try to interrupt y'all, but Rock, you hit it right on the head. I had the same issue when I had to go to JUCO. They asked for my parents' information. They said, we made too much. You got to take a loan out. I was automatically disqualified. But they wouldn't go by my information.
Nope. I had to take out a loan.
I was like, yo, I don't want to take out a loan. It's like, you got to take a loan if you want to go here because there's no scholarship or financial aid available for you.
And that to say is no financial aid, once again.
When I say financial aid, I'm talking about free aid.
Hold on, bro.
We got a school called Jacksonville University, the Dolphins down here. They ran the same type scam. They told these guys they was on scholarship, but they was on loan and other, you know, little small increments of financial aid. Rubber hit the road, they didn't know. So I see what you're saying, but it's not the same with everybody.
No one is saying that you're wrong, Rob. What I'm saying is, most of the time when people are going through this stuff, especially with athletes and things of that sort, this is their first time. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it's normally the oldest kid or something like that. Or even if it's the youngest kid, the other kids probably never were good enough to be in this position. So when you don't know, you don't know. When someone is telling you that no matter how you're trying to do this paperwork, you got to give us your parents' paperwork, it's what can you do? So is either you take a loan or I got to show where my folks make all this money and they got to pay out of pocket.
No, we know it's sports. That's what I'm saying. And I know every athlete wants to be a pro. And that's the draw. So what I'm saying is just take out the education piece. Because none of us are going to school to say we're going to get educated at this world-class university. The schools are not even giving you the world-class education. It's basically in hopes to become a pro. And that's why paying the players is becoming the law of the land now. Because at the end of the day, you can't say, oh, I want my kid to get a scholarship, get to go to school free. There are plenty of schools you can go to for free is what I'm saying. And don't use to say that that's why I'm playing the sport and I'm spending this money and reclassifying my kid so he can get into school. Is it an education? Because you can. You can. And it's been like that for a while. That's why, like I said, when Bernie Sanders was running for president, he was telling everybody, oh, every person in America goes to school free. We're the only school world that they don't go to school for free.
The only
and
one.
You can try to shut him down for that because the bottom line is he goes back to the financial aid. And so what we want to do it, we want to basically look good. We want to say we played at this school and did this and did that. I'm simply saying as a culture that, again, from as much money we've put into these actual athletics, we have put absolutely zero into the real education of the actual athlete. And if you are fortunate enough to get to the point to become a pro, like I deal with on a regular basis, I can't count how many times that guys, as they go through from a college to a pro standpoint, know the basic, not even the basic information about what it is from financial literacy and wealth. And then they spend all their time to get to this point. And they'll get everybody else under the sun they see on TV and Instagram the ability to do it for them because they're comfortable like that. Because they started out like that in the youth ranks. And it's been like that all the way through. That's all I'm saying. I come on this show because, again, I love their perspectives. But at the same time, at the end of the day, when someone says, are you wrong, Rob? I'm like, I love that because Hawk knows. I take that with pride because the bottom line is I've already dealt with this stuff. I've already got a university with the compliance department. For you guys that don't know in your audience, compliance department means lawyers. So don't let anybody tell you that, oh, the compliance department want to talk to you, help you, because that is the school university law. And they're going to protect the school against you 10 times out of 10. What I said yesterday about what's going on and this whole thing about NIL and classification and comps, I'm like, The NIL is coming up. You're not supposed to use third-party providers. Guess who's using it already? Alabama partners with Compass. Mississippi State partners with Compass. That's the same thing they did with the insurance providers. Oh, we don't want to insure you, so we're going to hire a guy and tell you he works with us, and he's going to do it for you. Again, in a sport like football and all these injuries, you realize, you guys know, that these so-called providers and these insurance policies, none has ever paid out to an athlete ever in the history of college sports while they actually signed up for them under the school situation. Or how about the third-party consultant that tells you that, hey, you know what, you should return to school with an independent third-party contract. Oh, by the way, we are paid by the ACC and the SEC.
Yeah.
So what I'm simply saying is that the school is a business, and at the end of the day, until you understand your business and the situation you need to be in, you are going to get got 100% of the time. And that's the only thing I want to come on and say to people is like, hey, just understand that when we're talking about it, the information is out there. Did I send you that link of mine? There's a school called University of the People, the Education Revolution. Our tuition-free accredited certificates. That's all you need. You don't need even be in class. It's a thousand of them things out there.
So, Rob, look what Jamie – hold on before you go, Cap. Look what Jamie says. She said they rushed my son in because they wanted him to play ball. They insisted he live on campus, and then I stay out of it. I don't have a huge income, but I get paid residuals and have excellent credit. Mm-hmm. She said that would hurt him. He got money – I've never even heard of it.
Well, her situation.
I'm sorry, I lost my water on your show. I lost my water on your show all over my damn screen. My bad.
It sounds like Jamie. Do you mind letting us know? Are your kids currently still in college, or are they done and they have no debt? Because that could fall into what Rob was talking about.
Oh, she said they never had to pay nothing back. She said it earlier.
He got money that they didn't know.
Right here. No scholarship, they have zero debt now.
Yep. So they're done with school.
I take it that they don't. Well,
ask what school you went to that they go to, if you don't mind? Because again, that's important too, because a lot of these things goes back to the accreditation scenarios, and people have to understand, like, you only hear about the Power Fives and things like that, but there's a lot of schools out there, especially some Division II schools. Some Division II schools are better than Division I schools. Or the HBCU schools, you just gotta find them. And they got like world class facilities. You go to Texas, this high school is built like colleges.
Yeah.
All HBCU is better than any Division I college.
It's so much background in that jank.
Yeah, stop it.
He's frying chicken. Well, that's what I wanted to ask. Okay, so to me, when you sign, or you know, academic, whatever, when it comes to school, you still have to be careful what school you choose because of the accreditation. Because like I told my kid, you can go 4 years to a school, but if that school is not highly accredited and you go for that job or that career change, and they're looking at Johnny that just graduated from Virginia Tech, Virginia, and you went to Slow Mo University, you know who can get the job.
That is very important, but also as important is that you understand what you're actually working toward, because that's the same thing with Division I schools. We all know college sports, so everybody's in here expert because we all been in this show for years. Name one player that actually has a job or career outside his accredited Title Power Five university and doing what we know about it. I get to go first because I only know one. Myron Rowe, y'all up. Pick one.
Ernest Robert Wolford.
Smith. Who?
Ernest Wolford.
Robert Smith.
Ernest Wolford from Virginia Tech. He is top for the Jacksonville Police Department.
Hey, Peanut, tell me.
Peanut's an FBI. That's a good one, Rock. That had nothing to do with his school, though.
So
you cheat right now.
Yes, I said, y'all about to say what? Did he major in criminal justice?
That's what I'm saying. I said from his school.
Did y'all forget Robert Smith?
School. I didn't say Robert that in a long career.
Did he use his degree?
I'm saying, though, they don't make it to the pros. Tell me one of these Power Five schools gave you a degree. You actually live in six or seven figures from that college education.
It's not many.
It's not. I named one. I gave mine a role.
Hey, a question from YouTube for you, Rob. How do you get around the request for parents' tax returns? Kids would be going to college like crazy if that was the case.
Again, nobody gets around taxes for anything. So that's the first thing I tell you. Yeah. So the FAFSA, again, when they say, and if the parent, like the young lady was on before, she doesn't necessarily, they say don't use your actual paperwork. That's simply saying he graduated with the Shenandoah U Okay, that makes a lot of sense to me, because schools like that, you would never even hear about that school like that.
And the other son is still debt free, going to school for free online for at Richmond.
Yeah. Hey Rob, I'm gonna tell you. Hey, check this out. Like what Czar went through. I was on full scholarship all the way up until like.
Damn, did we answer Kenneth's question though? My bad, Rock. Did we answer Kenneth's question?
No, I was talking about the taxes. Like I said, again, you can't get around the taxes. Again, they know your circumstances you live in. So most schools actually seek the poor, uneducated athlete in certain communities who do not have anything, because that makes it easier for them to come and say they're going to give you a scholarship. Mm. But as soon as they say that, here's the paperwork to fill out this form. They don't recognize that that form, based off your actual income, is going to dictate what they quote unquote going to be giving you. But in a lot of these schools, depending on what you've done, again, the reality is that money's already in the system.
So Rob, I got a question for you. If I'm offered a scholarship, should forms follow? If forms don't follow, then the kid is fine, or it follows regardless.
This goes back to Greg Anthony and UNLV back when, for those that educate your audience. So when we talk about players getting paid for their name, image, and likeness, Greg Anthony from UNLV with Cherry Tarkany and those guys, he was actually the first player to become a business in college. And again, obviously, again, when I do what I did with Sean Gary, I studied all these different things. What ended up happening was he basically, the Running Rebels, he created an actual apparel company. And basically, then all of a sudden, he was now saying, well, you know what? I don't want your scholarship. Because the rules are in place to say that he don't necessarily should be getting paid. Hmm. Well, he said, you keep your scholarship. I'm going to actually just make money and pay for this. Here's the money right here. And gave it to the school. The school said, okay, cool. Well, he's not on scholarship. He can play basketball, whatever. Keep making his money. Then a guy, Billy Packer, who's a commentator, you can look him up, went out there and said, well, what's the sense of him doing that if all of a sudden some boosters can't come pay him and do whatever? That's when the NCAA turned around and said, oh, yeah, well, you can't get paid for your name, image, and likeness again. Because from a scholarship standpoint, most athletes, again, that were poor and black, could not afford to have the money to come to say, you know, I'm going to have a business and do what Greg Anthony did. So then it became a point where now it's like, it didn't even matter if you had money. They wanted you to basically make money for them and use the term financial aid and as aid and scholarship to keep their thumb on you, not understanding the realities of this. So again, if all of a sudden now you got any quote unquote impermissible benefit, they can control your decision making. And so again, the majority of those that they seek are poor. Because again, the school, remember, these are billion-dollar universities. They are tax-free universities.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that comes in them, they don't pay taxes on. So this is how the system works. The donors come in. The donors that donate $1 million. And then the donor come in and sit down, and they bring him into a luncheon with all the players. Oh, and from the players. The player, he has one jersey. He moved that jersey all the way up and down. Every player signs it, even the ones about to be pros, first rounders.
Yep.
Then he takes that same jersey that he got signed for free, being a $1 million donor that he got off his tax write-off for that school.
Mm-hmm.
He takes that jersey, and he sells it to a memorabilia group for $2 million. And the next year, and then it's how this stuff goes, and it's been like that forever. That's why, like I said, people don't understand the whole thing about our culture running up now to basically be the five star, the captain. Just think about this in a business. Anybody, what y'all doing in your job? Just imagine ball hawk. You go to school, in summer school, you're working, and they telling you, oh, you know what? I'm recruiting somebody to come, you know, look and replace you next year. Yep. Then 2 years that I'm going to draft somebody after the fact. They're telling you to your face. They have no interest really developing you and letting you maximize your earning potential based on what you're skilled in to do. Mm. They're looking to replace you with the cheap labor as soon as you get there. That is the entire sports system. And you don't change your thought process. They call one draft. They call one recruiting. They tell you the same as they told somebody else the year before and the day before. And it goes all the way down to high school, all the way down to youth sports, and we all just fall in line all the way through. We don't know nothing different. All I'm here trying to do is open your eyes to things that's really been going on.
But you got to – people fall into that because of their circumstances, though.
That's the same.
But, Rob, what's the difference between the Pell Grant, though, and the FAFSA?
Again, the Pell Grant, again, is technically a loan. So I got a situation right now that I know some players in JUCO – don't even get me started on NJCAA.
They can cut the biggest cold. Use their Pell Grant.
The Pell Grants come to a year. And there's players that's transferred, but again, most players that went to school that had Pell Grants, they went to JUCO, that Pell Grant never touched your pocket. Mm-hmm. It went straight from you to the mail office to the coach's pocket.
Facts.
You paid your rent that way.
Mm-hmm.
And you thought that, okay, this is what it is. But really, that loan is that you filled out. They just simply saying, like, you thought you were getting money. But that's on your name. That's on your credit report. And then all of a sudden, you leave. And you leave that mid-semester, or that second level of Pell Grant still coming in. You're not even aware of it. Yeah. Tell me what player you know, if you did, that you cashed your own Pell Grant. Because I need to know that. Because I know it came in my name, and I never even cashed it. So okay.
You cashed yours? I did cash mine.
I cashed mine.
Okay, you cashed yours. How many? So y'all got two a year?
It depends on how your college is set up. If you set up on semesters, it's two a year. If you set up on quarters, is you know.
I got two. We got two a year here at UVA.
Because I never forget, they stole. I sent my money back home to my grandma with money orders. That when I first did the money order, I left the ticket on the bottom.
Think about that. What we're saying is Pell Grants. All y'all star athletes getting Pell Grants. At the end of the day, it was not even necessary to get that in order to play if they're going to give you money. Yeah. They just direct you to do that and put your name on it.
Yeah.
And this is what this whole thing is about, man. This thing is so deep in business, embedded into basically not even understanding your value and your worth, whether it's educationally, whether it's financially, whether it's human being wise, is that you gotta understand that this thing is a whole scam. So even if you work for a school, and like my man that got on and said, that's not true. Like I said, I get the information from the parents and the kids. I see the documents, I review them. And so at the end of the day, what's on the school side and the compliance department side is not necessarily what is on the kids' side. And that's an issue that people got to understand, too. You need to get that information from a lot of different people.
Hey, so before I let Jamal come on, like, you know, I know he got something to say. Kenneth, he's asked this the second time, and I want to get to this question, and I didn't want to be rude. He said, why do people accumulate so much debt from college? It seems like more would know about this loophole. Or basically more about the truth, because it's basically the truth, and a lot of people just don't know about it.
Because everybody wants to be at the top. It's validation. You want to go to this Harvard Law School, so you go into debt. They tell you that you can get a job and specialize in this, and then at the end of the day, there's no job out there for you to get. So you got the actual degree. You got the loans on top of that. Even when you get the job, you can't pay back off the loans that you just got, the debt that you just got. So then it becomes an issue.
So it's a branding. We're trying to buy Fruit Loops instead of Fruit Loops.
Is there a central location to where, and I know that's what Kenneth asked, is there a central location where you can get that information, or do you have to go to various
Google free tuition universities? I'm doing that now. Free tuition.
Now it's free. Now you can get free tuition for all kinds. Like, did y'all know that like white people can go to HBCUs for free because they're the minority?
Yep, that's true. Yeah. Hey, Jamal, what's good with you, man? Appreciate you jumping on from.
But why we can't get UWIs for free?
Hold on, I'm gonna let Jamal get in. It's like his.
I'm gonna test that for a second. Hey, first, peace to Ballhawk, peace to the room. I worked 13 years in the financial aid industry, specifically one of those tiny little D2 school up in Connecticut had no athletic sports, so everybody was on financial aid. And then two of the largest, most popular ACC schools here in North Carolina, one in Durham, one in Chapel Hill. I'll let y'all figure them out.
Yeah, facts.
all right, financial aid, first and foremost. It'll pay for all of your college, but it's going to be a combination of grant money, if you're lucky, work study funding, and that big ugly L with loans. All right. Now, the only way to get out of using your parents' information to fill out this federal application, you got to prove you're independent, basically. So you either got to be 24 years old, or you either got to be claiming a dependent on your own tax return to show that 51% of your income is taking care of someone else. Or you gotta be in a situation where you are ward of the court, where your parents literally cannot provide to help you go to college. Very few students fall into those categories. So one form or another, they're gonna need their parents' tax information to fill out that application. All right? Now, with that said, this federal application works all across the country. And if Congress says the maximum Pell Grant you can have, if your income is zero for the year on your tax return, Congress will say, well, your maximum Pell Grant for the up.
Damn, Jamal.
Whoa!
There you go.
All right. Did y'all get that?
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So the if the max Pell Grant is $6,700 a year, which is about what's that, $3,300 a semester, and you had an $80,000 PWI, that $6,000 Pell Grant ain't gonna touch on nothing. All right. Now let's bring it back to the state level. Let's bring it back to state colleges and HBCUs because they're still in that $80,000 a year. Let's drop them down to $35,000 a year. That Pell Grant is still less than $7,000 for the year. So if you're not on an academic scholarship where the school is saying, we're going to pay for you to come here because we want what your brain is going to bring to the table. Or if you're not getting a full athletic scholarship where the school is saying up front, bring your talents here. We got you covered. Now, y'all know better than little asterisks and caveats that come with the athletic side.
Right.
But if they're not guaranteeing you up front, if the school is saying don't even work, well, most schools will tell you fill out the FAFSA anyway, just in case. If you get hurt on that athletic field and they yank that scholarship, they got something to fall back on to maybe let your parents borrow your way through the rest of the year.
Hmm.
But that FAFSA is covering everything for free thing. That may only work at a community college level where you're talking that, about tuition for the school.
That's what I was saying.
Less than $5,000 a year.
That's what I was saying.
Right. And tuition for the year might be $5,000. So if you get a Pell Grant, now athletes, let me say this, athletes, here's a caveat for y'all. Even if y'all get a full athletic scholarship, the federal government says we can't, well, there are laws and limits regarding how much money you can have to go to school. So for example, if it costs $80,000 to go to this PWI, a normal student cannot have more than $80,000 in financial aid for that year. Regardless of where I'm from, grant, scholarship, work study, don't matter. Athletes have an exception to that rule because you can get a full scholarship that covers all of your expenses, tuition, fees, room, board, books, living expenses, you know, et cetera. The school can cover all of that shit. Oh, excuse my language. The Pell Grant is your, I want to say it's your right. Because you qualify for it based upon the income data that's on that application. Yep. So in those cases, yeah, you will have athletes who get everything covered and somehow get a check each semester as well.
That's because everything is covered. That's the reason why when he asked us that question, some of us raised our hands. Because I mean, I had a roommate who wasn't on full scholarship. They get a check too, but they also get a balance that they got to pay.
He covered the bases. He's saying the schools he went to. I didn't say every top ranked school. I said there are schools out there that works. You're talking about, I said you get free education. And again, regarding the actual scholarship of athletes, again, what that actually is that they're just not paying anything. So when, again, that income that comes in from apparel, from TV, things like that, they simply say from an athletic scholarship that you are required to pay anything because you already paid that based off what you've done. And they basically factor that in a sense of lower tuition for other regular student athletes. So even with that Pell Grant that you're saying, an athlete shouldn't have to fill out a Pell Grant for what he already brought into that actual school in that scenario. That's basically the saying, like, okay, you're not even understanding your willingness. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So at the end of the day, those schools in particular, those big time schools, they, again, the athlete is already paid and then some. So I wasn't talking about all these majors. I'm talking about there are schools out there that your actual financial aid and things like that that has systems in place that can allow you to get a free tuition. And essentially, you don't have to go and spend thousands of dollars in a sense of playing youth sports and saying, this is going to get me a scholarship. That's not going to get you a scholarship. You just get some academic scholarship. You got to have academics to get somebody.
Rob, but that's going to just bring you to zero. Say you do that. That's going to bring you to zero. You still got to go to school and take these courses. How do you make a living and eat so you can go to school and stuff? That's the reason why.
This is what everybody does in the world, man. They got a job. People work two jobs and go to college.
But what I'm saying is, it sounds like you saying that we should get away from the trying to get a scholarship to go to school.
I'm saying it's an athletic scholarship because they're not what you think they are, for one, and it's not that many. And then two, it's only 1 year renewable, and they actually can get you out of there fast. They got you in if they wanted to. Go ahead, Jamal.
Let me say this. Part of that $80,000 figure I kept throwing around, it's two sets of numbers you got to keep in mind when you're talking about financial aid. One is the actual cost of being on that particular campus.
Right.
Tuition, fees, room, board, book supplies, health insurance, and miscellaneous expenditures. The assumption is once this total figure is tallied up, that's how much money you need for 1 year to focus on your academics as a full-time student. The assumption is you should not be concerned about getting a job and working because you're a full-time student. Athletes have that gap automatically filled because of all the time y'all spend at practice and in film and doing all that shit before classes start and after classes start. Y'all don't have time to do that work-study job stuff. The average student does.
That's what we're talking about.
Well, it's not even about paying it back. The work study packages we would build and give to students have a certain allotment in it at the last school. I can't speak on all of them. They had a certain allotment in it that said instead of letting you borrow, you know, $2,000 plus in loans in your academic financial aid package, we're going to let you work and have a work study opportunity so you can get paid every 2 weeks and still have that part of your aid package. So the schools are, for the average student, they're trying not to put these kids into debt because of all the stories that y'all are talking about and that you hear all over the fucking country right now.
So, Jamal, what about the in-state, out-of-state? Speak to that real quick, if you can. In-state versus the out-of-state tuition.
At the private schools, it don't even matter. If you're from Connecticut, you're from Florida, if you're at this private school here in Durham, everybody playing the same flat 80 plus, right?
I'm talking about the public.
Let me tell you, this is what actually attracted me to North Carolina. That school over in Chapel Hill had a program where they were basically saying if your income fell within certain parameters, that they could guarantee you graduated debt-free. And that blew my mind. So I'm like, y'all have a public institution. I understand the Harvards, the Princetons, the Yales, the Dukes. I understand they got their own personal money, billions and trillions of dollars of endowment funds. How does a state institution somehow manage to guarantee 4 years of debt-free income? I mean, debt-free education. Using the same parameters in financial aid, that school said, we're going to combine the federal Pell Grant money plus this little bit of money we get from the capital because all the state schools get money to help pay tuition. Plus, this is what some of y'all touched on. Plus, our old alumni are going to throw some money into the pot. Because this now makes our school look really great nationally that we are this high echelon quality education, but we're going to guarantee that the lower income students, regardless of what race, whatever they come from, the lower income students can come here and get a high quality education. The problem with that was, the out-of-state students caught wind of that.
That's what I was trying to say.
That's why I want to loop this
that's
in.
What I was
the
out-of-state about.
Students came in, and if it's $50,000-$60,000 for an out-of-state student to come here to this campus, you know, multiply that times four. So basically, they get maybe $200,000 with the aid to get their degree. The in-state student may only pay $25,000 a year, and then the out-of-state students leave and never contribute back to the tax system. So they're really raping and pillaging the taxpayer. So the in-state, out-of-state game, quite honestly, if you're an athlete, it makes perfect sense because you're going for free. You have no plans on staying after you graduate if you get drafted, even better. If you're in-state and assuming athletics isn't really your thing, then you really need to be paying attention to what's cost-effective and trying to get your degree as cheap as humanly possible.
I'm looking at right now the Go Blue Guarantee in Michigan coming in fall 21. Expands to all three UM campuses. Beginning this fall, all three UM campuses, Ann Arbor, Dearborn, and Flint. We offer free tuition for up to 4 years for high-achieving, in-state, full-time undergraduate students with families' incomes of $65,000 or under and assets below
$50,000.
So when I said it,
my only question mark is what do they define as high-achieving? Is that maintaining
I'm sure it's education. And that's what I was saying
Is it at school minimum you got to maintain a 2.0 just to qualify for any financial aid period? Or is it the school saying you want to hold at least a 3?
Well, that's what I'm saying, Jamal. I'm saying we need to focus more on education because this is all it's going to focus on. So that's the same school that a kid can go to that played a sport and now can go for free if you focus more on the academic versus the actual athletic. Yeah. And basically, the families under 65,000, the assets under 50,000, that's pretty much all of Michigan or Detroit. Right? But if you don't have the actual qualifications to actually get the ability to learn and you're not prepared for that because you sit there running around in football with classification, yeah, it's never going to happen. So I'm simply saying is don't say, at the end of the day, I can't go to school, can't get education because I don't play athletics. That was my entire thought process at the beginning. Like, there are schools that you can do that, but you got to focus your attention on one thing versus another. Try to make your kid look like he's better in sports than he's not. It's not.
Y'all saying the same thing, Rob, and I figured that's what it was from the beginning before he even came on. Before he even joined on the show. But it boils down to want from the individuals themselves. That's why I made the joke about Fruit Loops and Fruit Oops. You know what I'm saying? It's the name that people are going after because of what it can so-called provide. It's a reason why kids would choose Alabama Crimson Tide over Alabama State. You get what I'm saying? So that's what it boils down to. What you're looking to get from being at that university. Hello, my bad.
Yeah, I got you.
Good, you good?
Yeah. But yeah, that's basically what it boils down to. So yeah, you can go to school for free, but it'll be from a school that maybe most haven't heard of. Or some small community college, things like that. So unless you find out if it's a school, like I literally went to school with white people. First time I ever went to school with white people was at a HBCU. And I was wondering why they chose. They were like, man, because we get to come to school for free here. And that's when I found that out, I was like, wow. Because they were the minority.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Look, man, it's scholarships for everything. And I'll say this. If you left-handed and like jogging backwards down I-95 in a pink bunny sweatsuit in the middle of snowstorms in February, I guarantee you it's an organization out there willing to give you a $500 scholarship if you got a 3.0 GPA.
Mm.
There are organizations and groups for every specific identification and classification you could think of. You just got to sit down and do the legwork to knock it out. Matter of fact, everybody got to take – it used to be a time where everybody had to take the SATs. But if you got a College Board account, they got one of the largest scholarship databases accessible right there on their website. Now, I ain't gonna front with you. The application is going to be a bit tedious. It's gonna ask you about what your hobbies and dislikes are. It's gonna ask you about what your mama did. It's gonna ask about what your grandma and granddaddy did. Did they fight in World War I or World War II? Did they immigrate here from some other country? The more information you provide about your background and your interests, as soon as you hit enter on this application, I'm telling you, there's got to be at least $1 billion worth of scholarships in this database.
Dang.
As soon as you hit go on that application, it's going to match everything you said about yourself against that database and give you a list of all the scholarships. They got nothing to do with how fast you could run or how far you could throw a ball.
Dang.
All you got to do is sit down and fill out the application for each one.
Hey, parents, that's why.
On one hand, you're absolutely right. If you want to go for free, you're absolutely right. It's going to take some legwork, maybe a little bit of, burn up some batteries on that laptop.
Yeah,
but you can go for free if you want to. Ahmad, did you hear about the Phoebus? Like, set an all-time record for the amount of scholarships they brought in for Hampton City schools.
No, I didn't hear about that.
It's like $14 million brought out of Phoebus. Like, I was shocked. Not to knock that neighborhood or nothing like that, but the amount of money that's floating around academically for scholarships is mind-blowing. And to, as you mentioned, force some kids into these athletic programs, It makes no sense.
But see, I think it boils down to just being honest with yourself about your child. See, the child probably don't know is what parents feed in their heads and things of that sort. Hawk is just a little bit older than me, so I don't know if scholarships were still 4-year or not when you was in school. But I think around about the time I got to college is somewhere in there they started doing that 1-year stuff. But even with doing that, we never feared of, like, not being on scholarship. So, like, that's so it's hard to see what Rob is saying because you like, I'm not going to get sorry all of a sudden. It's, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's so many slots. And I think because, see, we had a kid who mom lied, sent in another kid's highlight films, everything. Like, and my dumb school fell for it and signed this kid to a scholarship. Now, he got 1 year of free education, but his bug, he lost his scholarship after that because he wasn't good. Because everybody was like, this ain't the guy that was on film. That's what the coaches kept saying. So if you know if your kid is good enough athletically to maintain a scholarship, I think everyone knows that if you're foolish enough to lie to yourself, you deserve the outcome that comes from it.
Hey, Jeremy, they said, do you know the name of the link? What you talking about when you fill that questionnaire out? And then all the information come out as far as like the money towards
the scholarship link?
Yeah.
Try bigfuture.collegeboard.org.
Bigfuture.collegeboard.org. You got that, E? Bigfuture.scholarships.org.
No, bigfuture.collegeboard.org.
Yeah, all right. Bigfuture.collegeboard.org.
I should know off the top of my head, but you know what I'm saying? I retired from that side of life.
No, you're not retired. You're not retired. This is why I don't get paid for it no more.
Put it
in your student athlete. You don't get paid either. So that's exactly why I said again at the end of the day, and I hope your audience understand the level of information that they got today. So for me, this is what I'm talking about. Again, there's going to be more money that goes into running around in dirt and fake plastic trophies. They're going to go nowhere fast versus, hey, you can be an athlete, but you can be more than that too. But again, to be, and you see the screen right now, what I'm talking about. So that's Michigan. So again, representing the guy that is the number one overall recruit that went to that school. But it doesn't mean now you being in Detroit, oh, I can't play like Rashawn Gary. But you still can go do what he did and get a better opportunity because you're not actually going to play sports like he is or that level of sport. But you can get that degree because everybody says Michigan has a great program from an actual business standpoint. So there's schools all over. So what I'm saying is that what you're investing in, whether it's, as Jay said, to actually put the money in to learn how to fill out the application, or you want somebody to fill it out for you. So we know the results are going to be. And that's the end of the day. It doesn't matter how long you play the sport. It's going to come to an end faster than you think. And then you ain't got nobody to blame but yourself. So at the end of the day, we can talk all day about how you going to basically was great in 12th grade and you start 6 touchdowns and you did this. You broke Al Bundy's Polk High 4 touchdown record. Great. You enjoy your conversation at 7-Eleven under your what they call it, Steel Reserve or whatever Natty Ice these guys drink, dollar beers.
Oh, they drink dollar beers.
that's what college players do. But what I'm saying is that this information right here and just watching people ask questions and like and watching sports the way they do, I'm like this stuff been going on for a while. But we in our own community don't even put this out there like that. That's why I said to you, Hawk, about the NIL thing. I built NIL. I want everybody to know that. So I'm clear about that. That's name, image, and likeness, meaning name who you are, image where you at, likeness. How do you use your platform to leverage to get you where you want to be? I did it first. I'm still the only. But the industry don't want people to understand that because the bottom line is that it's easier to allow me to do what I did with one guy versus basically helping everybody understand. And youth sports is going to be up to $77 billion by 2026 in a youth sport level. To not have any education tied around that goes to show you exactly who is controlling this situation. We are continuing to do all the labor, and everybody else is continuing to get all the actual rewards for it. So that's why I mentioned about the compasses and the insurance providers and these college players and the consultants and third party that's telling you what to do with your career. If you don't, you're not educated. You're in school. You might get a piece of paper. You have no idea what it is. You are searching to be, Jay-Z would say, a 7-figure in, but you have no shot in maintaining that whatsoever for yourself. It's going to go as fast as it came because that's the system. And so that's why I said, again, this stuff that you see here, talking about list, hey, people, Google is anybody. All you got to do is get the words yourself. You ain't even got to have Jamal give you the actual link. You just Google it, say college free tuition, education, and keep searching till you find it. And then basically you click on it, you read it again, find somebody who can help you read it, understand you don't know what it is, and fill it out. And that's it. That, again, at the end of the day, that's not rocket science. So for everybody, just keep, please, man, invest your time wisely into your students, into these kids. You're talking about going to school. At the end of the day, make it count for something. So many athletes, man, like I said, again, is doing this stuff and is just paying for an industry that doesn't pay back to your injuries, to your actual career, to your mental health, to your financial stability. None of it. You could have got a job at Enterprise without even going to college. They're hiring. We know what the jobs are for athletes. We the bouncers. We in the club, in the gyms. We doing the same thing over and over and over again, and no one cares, seem to care about that. So that's all I'm trying to get on here is to elevate the actual level of what an athlete should and could be. It's possible. So, Jamal, to your point, when you say the athlete don't have time, no, we have time. You know why we don't have time? Because the coaches make sure we don't have time. That's the whole point. It's not necessary. They do this on purpose. That's part of their system. To keep you basically focused on keeping money in their pocket, not yours. See, I was one of those athletes that I did my job and I was on time and I did what I had to do. You're not keeping me no longer than I need to be there. And I know I was the best player out there, and I'll let you know that. So this is where players got to elevate their actual worth of who they are, and so they can get to that point. But we ain't there yet, but we getting there. That's what
Prime Time said that, and I love
it. Yeah, when he talked about how his boy had to rush off and go to work.
He said these coaches just spending 20 hours and all. He was like, that's because they don't want to go home.
I had a homeboy on another platform that I worked for, interviewed him, and he said he got out of coaching because he worked for coaches who love their family, and he worked for coaches who didn't love their family. And everybody would stay in the facility just because the head man ain't want to go home.
Mm-hmm.
Look like I'm leaving for the head man.
They're getting paid, though. But these college athletes is getting injuries and misdiagnosed.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I think he said misdiagnosed.
It's cold outside. I'm not getting no carries. And so now at the end of the day, it's like.
Oh, He just did the questionnaire. He got 660 results. Salute the E, man.
Knowledge is power, man.
Yeah.
That's it. There's no excuses for what it is and where the world we are right today and what we're putting our revenue in regarding Elevate. Can't keep pointing your finger at somebody else when Google give you the same answers as everybody else get.
So everybody that's listening right now, bigfuture.collegeboard.org, fill out the questionnaire. The results will come on how to make sure you find the money for you to attend an institution without.
I should tell folks, matter of fact, true story. When I graduated in 96, I think the church I was attending probably had, I think it was like three or four different scholarships, each one of them $500 each. I was the only one graduating high school that year, so they gave them all to me. I put it like this. The answer is always going to be no until you open up your mouth and ask. I guarantee you that much. If your parents work, if you got, you know, parents that work at large institutions or big organizations, ask them if they at your department got scholarship opportunities for employees.
Yeah. Hey, Rob. I just want to let you know. So, Jamal, don't let Jamal fool y'all. That motherfucker was fast as shit. We ran track together. When you think I'm fast, that motherfucker was fast.
That's another point.
Hey, you and my cousin was out there winning all the goddamn relays, man. Quit talking.
Man,
but that's another point. There's money for this track, too. There's money for lacrosse. There's money in a whole lot of different areas that you just don't get. So people only rely on that, too.
Soccer and softball scholarships and stuff like that to other programs. They doing that.
They'll give it to whoever can play. And that's what I'm saying. Again, we are going down one path of trying to get to a certain point.
I'm from
New York. So lacrosse is big out there. So at the end of the day, you could have got a full scholarship. Actually, if I did that, again, it would have been less wear and tear on my body. But you can get scholarships in different areas and different sports situations. As he said, it's just the point of not being lazy and sitting back here waiting to see yourself on 247 website that ain't going to pimp you out. And then all of a sudden, you broke and poor. And like I said, Saban says he's giving you a scholarship. He's not giving you nothing. You poor.
But see, Rob,
they're giving him money to have you come there. They give them $8 million to have you come there for freaking $60,000.
I think that's where it kind of messes up the message, because when you throw Saban in there,
I'm throwing him in.
But the kids that Saban is talking to are not the kids. They're not the kids that can't necessarily play and stuff like that. What I'm saying, what you're bringing up, because this is how I feel. I kind of wish I was either super sorry at sports, so I can already know what I'm gonna be go after in life. That's not sports. Like when you one of them people who you're good, but you just got to make sure you take the right route. That's tricky for a lot of people, because you're not going to go to a community college for a free education when you're good enough to actually earn a scholarship at a sport. You get what I'm saying?
You know how many people out there right now that's telling kids that they're good and they're not? That's a professional thing right now.
You know what? You know what, Rob? I think I understand where Rob comes from. Rob is basically saying, like, you can have in your mind to chase that college scholarship, but don't cut off that you got this avenue. Matter of fact, use that avenue to your advantage to when they come to you like, we could do this, we could do that. You could be like, well, shit, I could still go to your school and get that.
That's the platform. That's the likeness that you're elevating your likeness off of your skill set with that platform you're getting in that college, not giving your light to shine to basically make it about. Again, I don't know. I'm going to say this to the audience because, again, I like to educate. So this thing called PIE, I don't know if I did this last time on your show. But this is a $1 billion scenario when it comes to business, and I'm obviously in sports business and do these things. PIE is not the pie of the circle of pizza like you do in college. I mean, high school. It's performance, it's image, and exposure. And billionaires, and a guy named Harry Coleman, who's African-American, speaks about these things pertaining to how you really elevate what you do. Athletes are taught to focus on their performance, focus on the game, and everything take care of itself. Trust the process. That's only 10% of the equation. So for all those guys that spend 15 to 20 years basically focused on their performance, their image is the other 30%, and the exposure is the 60%. How that breaks down in plain English from sports. You do the performance in high school, you're great. You now give the 30% of the image to 247 to your high school in that scenario, basically to elevate who you are. When they go to commercial, they basically turn it into that actual sponsorship that's going to their pocket, not yours. Then when you make the decision, you go give the exposure to 60% to the ESPN and the CBS Sports, who are now getting hundreds of thousands of dollars because of what you did in your performance to elevate what you are. They're going to slap their helmet on. They're going to do it to the next person. They're going to take it and make it look good and go back to the next guy in his performance.
When you What's the alternative?
You basically, you go like I did, again, perfect example. I did this. So Rashawn, again, the first player ever to come in his own sports agency. He's also the first player to make his announcement on his own social media platform with his face showing, not no graphic, with the school helmet, with this logo on his chest, and every media outlet had to take that up. They had to go to his platform to put it out there. And then when he basically decided to go to the draft, he didn't go to Nashville and take the 30-second walk to go up to shake and hug Roger Goodell. No, we put him in his own place with the most watched NFL draft in NFL history for brand equity, took his name, logo, image, and likeness, and had it on TV for 5 minutes in front of 100 million people. He's here, ABC Network. So this is about understanding who you are. Hey, Rob,
let me cut you off, Rock. I think Rock is asking what's the way that, like, a college freshman. That's what you want
to
know.
Yeah, because you jump to the NFL part. I get that.
No, I'm talking about the freshman. I'm talking about he did his announcement on the Sports Center desk. He was wearing his jersey and his skin. He was the number one over recruit. So what I'm saying is knowing how to elevate in your name. So I said I started name, image, and likeness. Because every decision that was made on that platform was set up to actually make it where his leverage of what he was doing through his performance always came back to him. And then it wasn't going to Jim Harbaugh. It wasn't going to Michigan.
I'm with you on that 100%. We have to have people like yourself to teach these parents that, because they don't know. All they know is, like how you just brought up, Pat.
Yeah.
The big part of making it to the pros right now
is exposure. And
it's that E.
It's the exposure.
And who can provide? It's always getting exposure. That's in business. It's not even in sports. That's in every business model.
So you're gonna choose if your kid is offered a scholarship. You bring up Saban. If Saban offers you a scholarship, and the coach from Alabama State offers you a scholarship, you're going with Saban because of the exposure he can give you to get.
No. See, that's what you're looking at it backwards. when you go to, if you're that kid and you go to Alabama State and you're that guy, then they're going to focus on you. If you're that kid and you go to, Josh Jacobs did exactly this. Josh Jacobs was a guy that was not starting. He went to Alabama and he was the backup. He left Alabama and became a first round pick because he recognized that his actual exposure was in himself, not backing up guys. He's a first round pick. He was behind Najee, who stood there and been there for all those years.
Check this out.
Damian Harris, who was a running back before him, went to the Patriots, barely get on the field. So again, you're talking about the exposure. Nick Saban is not giving you the exposure. He's literally putting you in the back of the bus and making you wait, like he did Mac Jones, who Trey Lance got the exposure with the opt-outs and from North Dakota State and got drafted ahead of Mac Jones.
I 1,000% disagree. You want me to tell you why?
I get it, but who got paid more? Before you answer that, who got paid more, Trey Lance or Mac Jones?
Trey Lance did, but you're using the exception for the rule.
Check this out.
I can show you this because I've done my homework on it. You're talking to a guy who I'm not trying to get down.
Man, get to the damn point. I don't care about that shit. You know, I don't care.
I went to HBCU, right? And I was all world all 4 years. You want to, and it hurt me because I went there first. If I would have went to Alabama and been a backup first and then transferred back to HBCU, they'd give me a shot. I've seen it happen to so many players who went big time first, one playing, transfer down, and still get a shot.
You feel like the narrative would
have. You played 20 years ago, right or wrong?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, I'm talking about name, image, and likeness. There was no payment to players. See, I've been working on getting this done since those times. Those days are over. Like I said, I proved that point. Nope. When I did on the day of the draft, I said they will be in Amon. You can check the records. Cleveland, I said the opt-outs will get paid today. I said the players that made an informed business decision will be paid royally. I said that on the morning of the NFL draft as I was headed there with Rashawn Gary. At the end of that 2 days, that night, there was a quarterback from a 1AA program drafted high of a national championship in Alabama. There's a wide receiver who opted out and basically got drafted higher than
I'm not speaking against you.
I'm saying every player who came from certain places who opted out to not play for college, to not play for those high-profile coaches, who didn't go out there and play for their team, were rewarded from the NFL today that went to schools that you did not hear about for making a smart business decision. While Alabama and Nick Saban talking about Mac Jones being his Chick-fil-A. What I'm saying, those are the facts. The numbers, the money, the NFL was 10 of them, 10 in the first round. The first receiver was from LSU. He opted out. The first quarterback was from North Dakota State. I mean, from the other guys that opted out was from North Dakota State. The first lineman was from Oregon. He opted out before the Alabama lineman. The first linebacker that opted out was from Penn State, was before the Alabama's linebacker and their DBs.
That's not the argument I'm making.
No, you said Nick Saban. What I'm saying is guys that came from certain places that it wasn't what they did on the field that day or that coach they played for. I'm saying when it happened with you and when we played, yes. I'm saying today it's not about the coach. It's about the exposure, about who you are. Trey Lance got his exposure and his image out front of what he can do that offset the performance of the national championship quarterback, Mac Jones. I said it on the show for all of y'all. I said when they traded up for the actual the San Francisco, I said there's no way they taking Mac Jones.
You absolutely said that.
I said there's no way because I can look at the skill of his quarterback. I don't care if you play for Nick Saban or Dick David. I don't matter. It's not happening.
That quarterback don't pan. That Alabama quarterbacks don't usually be good.
No, but who's the guy? No, you said Nick Saban, though.
No, but because you kept using Nick Saban as an example. What I was saying is this. Whoever you want to get the prestige, who makes the prestige goes up, whether it's the university, the culture, whatnot. What I'm saying is people keep trying to put this narrative out there that no matter where you go, they'll find you. Yeah, they'll find you, but they won't give you the same opportunity. If you and I play the same position and we both good at our position and you went to a PWI and I went to a D2 or HBCU, they're going to give you an opportunity before they will me.
That's how I was. I agree. That's how I was. But again, so, what I said – So what about J.C. Horn? What we are, we are in the same room when I said about J.C. Horn versus Patrick Sertan?
Yeah.
Did I not say it was going to be J.C. Horn first?
Yeah.
Even though Nick Saban is a coach and him and his father was a pro and he's
but all it's still the boy, the kid ball is still SEC. What I'm saying is this is what people are taking into consideration when they choose schools. Like, who's going pro?
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
that's what you're saying, Rock. But what I'm saying is that's a big jump. But what I'm saying overall,
Rob is saying it's changing. Rob is saying it's changing.
It's never been the name, image, and likeness has never been easier or more adamant for athletes to basically know their skill set. Get the proper development. That's why I was talking about business development. That's why I was talking about sports is not a game, it's all business. Because the reality is the man played one game in 19 months versus the guy that played a national championship. Everybody says Kyle Shanahan is a genius as a coach, right? That's what they say. John Lynch is not a Hall of Fame. That genius said, hey, Nick Saban, I'm taking this kid that basically didn't play in 19 months in North Dakota State over your national championship QB.
Yep.
I said that was going to happen. And I'm the only one still said it was going to happen. And Lars haven't even mentioned it yet.
You want to know why I hate that example, though?
Because it's the truth.
He's not. That boy is special. Like, he's special. Like, he is special.
So it didn't matter if he went to Alabama or North Dakota State.
You just helped Rob make his point.
That's the point. He's special. Thank you, Rob.
And then
Rock saying he is accepted to the rule too.
Yeah, because
okay. So Rock, about Jalen Hurts. He was at Alabama.
Does that speak to what you were saying, Rock? The fact that he transferred from Alabama and with Oklahoma that helped.
It got significantly better.
It didn't matter if he went to Oklahoma first, Alabama. Those schools, they all PWIs.
Let me interject. I felt like if he stayed at Bama, he wouldn't have went second round.
He wouldn't even have been a quarterback. He would have been a running back.
Yeah. It would have diminished his.
He probably wouldn't have. I'm just saying this. When it comes to what a kid wants to know, all kids think they're going to go pro, right? Well, they want to. So they're trying to go somewhere where they think they will get their best opportunity. And in my own studies that I did myself, all the guys, and I was looking at all the small schools, the guys who transferred in who couldn't play at big schools, and a lot of them guys came to black colleges and couldn't even play then. Mm-hmm. But still got shots with the NFL.
What about Dal Green?
Daryl Green? Mm-hmm. Come on, that's one of the fastest men ever.
You made my point again. You said he's special. You said he's fast. You gave me the word. And you can't teach speed.
No, you can't.
That's my point I'm making. I'm like, if you that fast.
5 minutes left.
Then you're going to basically going to be able to have an opportunity.
Is he gone? It's not the
college coach anymore. And I keep
showing
certain samples.
If you have the things, what I call like God-givens, that no coach can teach you or anything like that, you're a person who can go anywhere.
Yeah.
Like if you tall, you super tall, super big, super fast, all that just gifted.
That's all I'm saying, Rob.
I think y'all saying the same thing, Rob. Y'all saying the same thing. But
what I'm saying is if you're a guy, if you Hulk height, you my height, you might want to go to a big school.
I'm not saying you shouldn't. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying if you are that exception, that's how you talk about name, image, and likeness. You go where you can actually make the platform work for you. You don't all of a sudden jump into Nick Saban's platform. He gonna bury
you. But you already got it. Okay.
Rob is saying
if you already established a platform and you killing it, whether you got a bunch of followers, YouTube, whatever, you don't need Saban. He's gonna try to latch on to you.
You don't want Saban.
You don't want him. I agree with that.
Industry is trying to suppress. The industry is trying to suppress the athlete's ability to maximize who they are.
Yeah, it's like I always use Zion Williams as the most recent guy. Like that kid had millions of followers, and you got the NCAA basically saying, like, can you imagine if you had a YouTube? They were like, or if you want to be an influencer on Instagram, he couldn't make money off his own name because of the name, image, and likeness in the NCAA. But that was a kid that could basically say, keep your damn scholarship. Hey, yo, Instagram, what y'all gonna pay me? I could just
walk. Yeah, but check this out, though, Hawk, which is crazy. I knew he was special. I remember what they used to knock him. He playing against small white kids and all that. Duke helped elevate him to the number one pick. He was not gonna be number one pick.
Oh, what?
Come on, Rod.
Don't do that, bro.
No, they had a few guys ahead of him at first.
Rock, that's why Mike Krzyzewski is retiring right now. Because at the end of the day, he don't got another one that y'all have to elevate. See, that's why he's retiring. He's made my point. He was killing the
AAUs. All right. Now,
if he would have went to Alabama State, they wouldn't have drafted him.
Wait, time out. What's the difference with the ball brother? They doubted him.
LaMelo. What you mean?
They doubted LaMelo. Nobody saw him going top 10 when he went
to Australia. He wouldn't have played.
I'm just saying, bro. It's the same scenario. When he went, LaVar done fucked it up. Took him out of school.
That's exactly what they were saying.
And boom.
Look at the other brother. He's another example for my argument. Ooh. Because of where he played and stuff, they used the same thing against him. Imagine if he stayed at a UCLA and played throughout college and dominated, he would have got drafted.
His skill set, he's still good, as good as the Lakers don't sign him, I don't know.
You talking about Jello, dog?
He can play, Hulk. Hulk, you don't think that boy can play? No,
he could get money overseas, bro.
No, you don't do well in the G League. Than any one of the Giannis brothers, the 15th man on the bench.
He don't have the physical attributes of them. He's the runt of the litter. He is. He's the best pure shooter.
But at the same time, you got to that level, and that's what you know who you are. You got to go take care of your platform. That's all. If you pick that kid up on the right team, he can help him. So since LaMelo did something similar to what RG did, or Sean Gary went over, did great, now Parker owner team, now rookie of the year. Why is the media not basically saying all these things from the level of, hey, how smart is the Ball brothers and family from that standpoint? Why isn't the media not talking about that? They don't talk about me.
You want to know why?
Because
they challenge the system.
Exactly.
No, that's the point. The system of being successful and great in what you built to do on your own name, image, and likeness. That is the point. And so the reality
that's why they're not. You know why? Because they are part of the resistance now. Yes.
And you can't stop him from doing what he's doing either. That's why you don't even want to mention his name anymore, because the platform, we're like, wow, you mad because he basically got two kids in the NBA, one number two overall pick, and basically rookie of the year, and he doing it his way. Like, God,
the other two couldn't be denied, right? But the moment it's anything that you can pick at, they're going to choose not to allow you. That's the same thing with the schools you go to. If I'm not the tallest, the fastest, and the strongest, I actually need to go to a bigger school and show them I can compete with these
guys. You can do that, but at the same time, that don't mean you get into the league. That's another thing about these Alabama guys. Dylan Moses, the Alabama linebacker, was a five-star Alabama linebacker, spent 5 years in school, tore his ACL. And I'm going to put this out loud. It doesn't matter. I do consulting. I consulted with him and his mom, and I said he needs to leave to go. He consulted with Nick Saban, but conflict of interest, said he should stay. Mm. Everybody go. He come back to school another year. Another old head linebacker to go with the six-year guy, Josh McMillan. At the end of the year, they win a championship. The draft comes. Dylan Moses, undrafted. After 5 glorious years of ACL tears and all the ups and downs and half teachers you can get, as many as you want in Alabama, and now basically you could have been undrafted last year. You got the tread on your tires is running. The NFL knows that. But because Nick wanted these old guys so he can add to his trophy case, You made him believe he's gonna come back and the league gonna draft you high. The league
that's his parents' fault.
But when did it start, Rock? When did it start? Did it start when he got to Alabama? When he became All American Under Armour? When he was
it started when he was little because he's
okay. So that's why they need to talk to Jamal. And Jamal would have told him, like, "Hey, bro, protect your knee."
That's what I'm saying. Parents need to parents have to educate themselves. Especially if I'm gonna put a kid in sports, right? I'm gonna educate myself about the business of sports.
And Rock, and not to cut you off, in order to be educated, you also gotta be what with yourself. You gotta be truthful.
You gotta be real. That's what I was gonna say. That's the second part about it. All of us, man, both of your kids are in sports. They happen to be good because they got a good bloodline. But I'm pretty sure if your kids, if they weren't that good, I'm pretty sure you'll tell them you got to work on this, and that. You're not.
Oh, hell no. I tell my daughter that. Like, you got a lot to work. Like, you getting by with talent, but that shit ain't gonna get you far on track. Your ass gotta fine tune this. You gonna be stuck.
Yes, but it's a lot of parents that's not doing it.
Because they're not former athletes, for one, pro athletes. So let's be real without that too. These people don't understand how the real work sports. Like, we got a situation right now with Bo Schembechler and his parent and his son saying that he touched me and the doctor, he turned the other way. Stuff like that happens because parents are oblivious of really what's happening with these kids and want to look the other way just so they can say they played at this prestigious university or took a picture with these guys. Don't you realize when you take a picture with a million man worth $80 million and all you get is a picture, you lost? Because the reality is that, like, if you get that type of opportunity to network at one time and you shoot your shot, whether you're a mom or a parent or a dad, whether it's Nick Saban or Krzyzewski, if I take this picture with you, my elevated speech better be on point. Because you got $80 million and the hell with this scholarship that my son about to help you get or he's going to get. I need to realize
I'm how feeling you it,
Rob. Move myself.
I know you want to jump in.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I want to jump.
I'm gonna let you jump in before we wrap this up because this has been a dope show. I'm gonna cut it into two different parts. I don't want to make it one long because there's too much information for people to miss. But I'm gonna let you go ahead and chime in, bro. Go ahead.
So first thing, man, all you guys, this show today, this was probably the best show you guys have had because this information that I received as a high school head coach is something that I really needed to tell not only my players but my parents because you know, like you guys say. You got to be truthful, right? And as a high school head coach, you know, I was blessed to play at Southern University, a D1 school. And that's the thing. If you don't play at a D1 school, you're not good. Or if you don't
do this, Jaguar.
Yeah, you know it. So the one thing for me that I wanted to do when I started coaching was I'm in McKinney, Texas, and I'm in 6A ball. So you know, it's huge. Football is huge. But the thing that we don't do as high school coaches that I feel like we need to do is, one, be truthful to parents and give parents as many options as they can because all we know here is Division I football. That's it. Like, if Midwestern State, a small D2 school comes, kids automatically blow it off. You know why? Not because of the coaches. We're happy for them to come. But the parents, because they don't see full scholarship.
Yeah.
And, you know, even for me growing up, you know, I went to Duncanville and – all I knew was for my mom not to pay for school, I had to get a full scholarship. Mm-hmm. And now being on the other side coming in, it's like, man, especially today, it's like, man, Rob, Jamal, you guys are giving me information that now when me and parents talk, I can give them this extra information. So
hey, I got something too, Rob. I want to show you something. No, take this. Hey, I wanted to see you go because I want to show you the difference between those two things right there. That those rings, man, that's what they get you with. Those rings will keep you over there with, you know. Loans and
you have, they interrupt you with their hard.
I'm sorry, my bad.
It's cool. You know, he got a little old ass ring, so it's cool. And he got no ring, but he got two, so I can't even hate. But no, for real, man, like, man, this information that I got today, like, I just went on the site, like, man, let me go and just I did a quick questionnaire and like literally like 18 pages came up with just random scholarships and random places you can go. And it's like, we don't have this information. But in the high school level for us coaches, you know, a lot of coaches don't want to tell parents the truth because, one, you know, the transfer portal is not only in college, it's hell in high school. Transfer portal, you move the kids around.
It's business. It's all business.
And they're so afraid of the kid transferring because, one, you know, they don't want to, you know, hurt a kid's feelings. Like, well, if you have the best interest of the kid, there's some things that are going to, you know, quote unquote, hurt their feelings, but they'll understand if they really know you as a person, as you as a coach. So yeah. I really just wanted to come on here, man, and just thank you guys for this information for me because it's going to help me.
Yeah, bro.
My advice to that, that's the reason why, like, I get into it with a lot of guys back home. Like, a lot of people try to get me to come back into coaching, and I'm against it because I feel like the coaching game is not about teaching right now, far as the skill set and the things that kids need to work on and the business side. It's just about winning, plugging and playing the next best stud.
Mm-hmm.
I believe if you create an atmosphere or organization in the world, hey, we teaching over here. So you're going to have even though this team might have a better stud or a better athlete here and there, you got a better team. You see what I'm saying? You got a better program. And you once that is what's known about your program, then I think people ain't got no choice. You can say what you want to as a coach now. Yeah. Ain't got to worry about hurting no feelings, you know what I'm saying, and run it how you want to run it.
Well, one thing is that I think, you know, you would be a heck of a coach is because, one, you've been in a position that these kids are wanting to get to. So you already have that, what they want. So anything that you say to them, they're going to want to listen because they're going to want to go to where you are. Second is, it all depends on what school you go to. So I'm at a high school right now, and I'm leaving to go to another one. And this high school, I was basically a robot. We had a schedule, and I had to do this, 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 and this because my head coach's favorite position was the safeties, and I'm coaching the safeties. After the first day of practice, he brought me to his office and said, hey, you know what you're doing? I appreciate it, but I want it like this. It's like, all right, cool. I already knew that this year is going to be long, and I'm going to end up leaving. So now I'm at a new job, and this guy, he tells me, he's like, hey, you run it how you want. I just want the kids to learn this coverage. I trust you. I've seen your resume. You've done it. The kids listen to you, this, that, and other. So it all depends on where you go. And also, man, we just need more. It's not enough of us coaching, right? So we're playing, but we're not coaching. Because you would notice, it'll be one day, because I was just like you, Rock, man. I'm like, man, I ain't coaching. I ain't about to do none of that. And then somehow you're going to get sucked in. You're going to be like, man, I love it. And you're going to love it because these kids are going to gravitate towards you. Because, like, man, I actually have somebody that looks like me that I know that will help me to get to where I want to be. Because you're not wrong in what you're saying. It is a lot of it is about winning, right? And a lot of it is, I want to appease this parent because this parent's in the booster club, or I want to, you know, do this, that, and the other. But it just depends on where you're at. You know,
I understand what you're saying because I'm not gonna lie, I did the same thing as a kid. I listened to the coach that played in the NFL more than I did the coaches that actually knew more. And as I got older and playing pro ball myself, I took on the stuff, the teachings that the coach that didn't even play for taught me, like how to just, like, a lot of people don't understand. People are looking at film. All of us can look at film and see something totally different. And, like, a lot of people don't know how to watch film and break down film. You get what I'm saying? So things like that, like the coach that I played for that played in the pros didn't know any of that. He just hit something. You see what I'm saying?
And now you wonder why, again, because I represent somebody that's actually in the league in the Fitzpatrick community. When people talking about getting jobs as GMs or actual executives, goes back to the education piece we Jamal talking about earlier. You're not qualified to be an executive at the level you want to be to get there because you're black. Because you never took the actual education of the business that you want to be in to the level where you can get that job. So there's a lot of coaches that get to the pro level and all they can do is coach. It's like the players. Once they get to play, all they can do is play. It's a vicious cycle that does not change because it's basically pushed by us day in and day out. So again, at the end of the day, if you talk about you want to coach at the pro level, but yet you don't know how to do a skill assessment based off of what you're looking for on that actual platform, then you're not going to be able to go any further and you're not going to be an executive. So we can go say Black Lives Matter and march and yell and scream, but it goes back to the beginning about education. That's cool. I got in the sports business. That's why it's called pre.
Hey, when he get to dropping jewels,
yeah, no one else, yeah, man.
At a Raleigh's.
So that's the scenario where, again, you know, you can see all these guys, you can see all the money that's being made, you can see all the money when I talk about $77 billion. Uninformed, uneducated, underrepresented labor. That's what we have in the sports industry today. So when you get to the point, Effie, you're talking about your coaching, this is the way you like it, because that's how you were taught to be as a player, and you're now being transitioned and indoctrinized and transitioned to being a coach the same exact way. But guess what? It's a circle. It don't elevate you. It don't give you a chance to understand how you can basically become better at what you do, because you're put in that box, in that circle, and that's the only way you're supposed to be able to get it. And yeah, so you step out to move it and do it that way and elevate it. That's what I keep saying before. It's all business.
It's only three ways that we believe we can get out of the ghetto,
yeah,
in our black communities. And no matter how much you make, even you can even take LeBron or Michael Jordan, with all the money they made in the sports they played, it's still a company, a white company, a white owner that made way more off of their efforts than they did.
What's the most bigger brand, Nike or Jordan brand? Which one
do y'all
think it is?
Nike.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's easy.
Don't, yeah, say, like, Jordan didn't,
you say it's easy, but all of our athletes want to be a part of the Jordan brand because they think that was matter. But they don't realize Nike made all that money off of Jordan. There will be no Nike without Jordan.
That was my issue. That was my issue with people not succeeding. This is the reason we can't get a hate bill passed for us. To this day, we had over 200 and some bills denied, and Asians can get one pass on the first try. It's because all Asians in America are going to stick together, all blacks not. And they notice that with us in anything that we do, long as they can keep. Think about any job that's unionized. They don't, like, the people get treated better in them workforces because they're unionized. They have a union. So they understand that with us, that we didn't support LeVar Ball. They knew to attack LeVar Ball because he was trying to teach us, not just for his kids, for your child that's coming up, they should be more money off of their efforts and name than someone else does.
Michael Jordan. Sports got a union too, though.
Yeah, right? Michael Jordan been making shoes since 1984. He ain't been a billionaire in 10 years.
Yeah, and again, he got a union. NBA got NBA PA, got a union. NFL got a union, same union that says you have representatives, you have agents, but yet you basically got racial norms based on your cognitive level. So even when you get to become part of the union, you don't even know what goes into your union, and you're paying dues on it from the representatives you have in front of you. That's why I say this stuff ain't set up for you to actually succeed in this. The only reason why I've been able to do what I've done thus far and not basically have them try to run over me, one, I keep my nose clean, and two, that I'm playing the same game that corporate America been playing from day one.
And you ain't got big. You ain't got
as racist or it's against us and versus them. But no, I talk about dollars and cents. Does it make sense to pay an agent in a career such as football where their contracts aren't guaranteed? And if I get injured, then this guy don't have an actual career because they don't have any retirement after 5 years. Should I pay dues $18,000 when I'm a first round versus a seventh round pick? When at the end of the day, I don't even get vested after the first 2 years since I'm playing. I teach athletes that. Their money goes elsewhere. NFL gets mad. What you want to say to me? Should they be paying money to somebody who's not paying for their transition? Where they have nothing else to do with this education in college and never did anything? Right. They step back. Like, all right, you won, but we ain't going to say anything. We're going to let you go ahead and do what you do. So I'm going to be at the NFL draft. I'm going to be in the ESPN awards looking at people crazy. But at the same time, they're not going to say, hey, how smart was that? LeVar Ball, how's great? So, again, we got to stop looking for validation from the powers that be that we normally see, the ESPNs of the world. Like I said, what's Stephen A. say? Ball Hawk is way better than Stephen A. He can get in here right now. He won't last an hour.
We'll eat Stephen A. alive.
That's my point. So, again, anybody that's watching, Stephen A., share it. Because he needs to be ate alive with this stuff. He forced me to talk. But the point is about elevating the actual culture. And we talk in sports. Let's talk about it as a holistic, realistic situation. Entertainment is great. But when you become the entertainment of everything and the butt of the joke of everybody else that you're looking at, or everybody is generating the revenue off of you, the joke's on us. And I've been saying that, and I'm going to keep saying it, because the bottom line is I don't wear suit and ties in that.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.